this play.
And Clemson runs out on the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold. Clemson's going to the Elite Eight.
Out of bounds.
The center fielder at the wall. It's out of here. It's out of here. Got the distance. Does it add the accuracy?
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Monday, August 3rd, 2026. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quaggenbush, Ben Milstead. We are live. Ben is live inside the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. I am live in Como, Italy, about 45 minutes from the Swiss border. I've had a day, man. We are at the Hotel Metropole Suisse, is what I was told to say. That's what I was told to say. With a beautiful view of Lake Como, and we're just glad to be on the air today. It has been quite a day. I'll say more about that coming up. We have so many things to get to today. I can't wait to get into the trade deadline stuff and, you know, if your granddad still has eligibility left to play college sports, maybe. We'll talk about that. But first, I need to know how Ben Milstead's doing. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to get in. Adams, a co-roofing text line. Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Open phones throughout the show today after a busy weekend. Ben, how are you, sir?
Quark, I am fantastic. Thank you very much. Not as good as you. I've had a great weekend. Enjoyed being here. But, you know, it's not Italy. It's not whatever lake you're – I'm guessing there's a difference between Lake Hartwell, where I was, and Lake whatever you just said. Just guess.
Lake Como, as the locals call it. It you know what? I have not been in the lake. I would say the sights. It's – we're, like, in the mountains. It's, like – push them right up against, like, the Alps. I don't know if we're official. I don't know where the Alps officially begin, but obviously people know about the Swiss Alps. We know about, like, Austria, the Sound of Music. We were taking a train from Milan to Como. That was the second train that the Bagbies and I took today. And it felt like I was sort of through the countryside in the Sound of Music. That's what it felt like. So it's a great bit of the earth, and the view from the hotel is exquisite. And can I tell you, I was informed that the temperatures would be in the 80s, but we are in a heat advisory up here. So after having reached triple digits, I think 4 or 5 consecutive days in Rome and Florence, we are in a heat advisory up here in Como, where it was supposed to be breezy and, you know, a little more like home. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be mid-90s minimum the 3 days that we're here. So other than that part, I'm excited to be here. Ben, I've never taken a train, okay? Like, I've taken the MARTA. Like, I, you know, you can do that. Like, subway systems, okay, whatever. But I'm talking about a bullet train, Ben, like a high-speed train. And let me tell you something. We were getting it. From Florence to Milan, the highest I saw was 292 kilometers per hour. And I've been over here a week, but I have no idea how fast that is. So I have to fix it every time. Or, like, you know, this building is 150 meters from, I don't know what that is. So I have to fix it every time. But we're talking like 180-ish miles an hour. Just getting it. Couldn't feel a thing. If you weren't looking outside and seeing how fast they're going, couldn't feel a thing. It was awesome. You ever ridden a train like that? At the sort of open air, you know, a bullet train type thing?
Wait a minute. Okay. you just said open air and bullet train. I do not think there's such thing as an open air bullet train.
Maybe not.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm pretty loosey-goosey with my terminology here.
Okay.
I know is the train I was on today was going extremely fast, and we were both outdoors and indoors.
Okay.
It was a speedy mixture.
Because I think bullet trains are like, you know, like, well, in fact, I'm looking it up right now. A bullet train is 200 miles an hour.
Okay, so not quite. We weren't quite in bullet train area. Not quite.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't quite get there.
I'm sure the train up in Bryson City area, I'm sure that's exactly like the one riding around the Swiss Alps. I'm positive it is the same experience that you and I've had. You know, I think it's Santa's train later on. Around wintertime, I'm certain that's the same thing. Ridden a train from New Jersey, actually through New Jersey. I mean, about an hour long train from a part of New Jersey into New York City. It's the closest thing I've ever gotten. I've always wanted to do like Amtrak. I really have. My father-in-law took maybe two of my sons. I know my oldest son, they went from here to Washington, D.C., get on in Clemson and get off in Washington, D.C. There's 37,000 stops in between, I'm told, but you can do that overnight. I've always wanted to do it. Never have.
I feel like that's a bucket list item for a lot of people, and quite honestly, it's one of the odder, and I have the same thought as you. I want to do that one time, but it's a bucket list. Normally, the bucket list items you have either are geographically improbable for you or financially improbable for you.
Okay, so
that Amtrak trip is neither.
Tell me, how long a train ride was this? Why did you do it? How much did it cost?
So it was Rick's idea. People were talking about it. I think some donors rode the train from Rome to Florence instead of doing the bus trip through, you know, Italian Buc-ee's and through southern Italy like we did. And so they were sort of talking about it, and Rick kind of had the idea. So he approaches me with this idea. Do you want to get on the train? Now, what I'm thinking is, okay, if something goes wrong with the train, like, we're going to have a problem getting on air, that's fine. But this bus, they're stopping. I was looking at the itinerary for the day. Lot of loosey-goosey times in there. They're going to stop at the Ferrari Museum, and there's traffic multiple points, and I just want to make sure I can get there on time. So I was like, sure, if we know when we're going to get to the station in Como, so I know when we can get on the air, this is actually better. Well, then last minute last night, they canceled the Ferrari Museum tour. They changed the route they were going, still hit a bunch of traffic. I think they beat us by about 30 minutes. That first train ride, whatever it is, about an hour 50. We get to Milan. We left at 8:45. We get to Milan about, and you know, 10:40-ish. And it was 8:55 to 10:50. I think is what it was. So it was an hour and 55 minutes. Awesome. Really fun. Made a few stops along the way. Guy was asleep. Hit the loudest phone. Been the loudest phone. It rang three times. The guy never woke up. It rang so many times. It was over 20 times. Okay?
Why didn't you answer it?
It was kind of far. Like, I had to reach across him. It was just one of those. The Italian girl beside me was making faces and quiet noises when several people did things. And eventually we made friends because we just thought it was hilarious that she knew what was happening when all the – and she's like, oh, this is what happens on these dumb trains. So that was good. And then we spent the afternoon in Milan. We ate. We did some shopping. We did some walking around. Went to the Duomo, this giant church. They had a castle. You're like looking at the church. You're like, well, turn around. There's a castle. And so you walk like 12 minutes, and it's a legitimate castle. It was incredible. I wish I could have gone in it. And then we take the train, about a 40-minute train, from a little bit slower train, smaller train, from Milan to Como. That was incredible. By the way, I need to say, when I said open air, no, there were tops on the trains, okay? We're not cruising in a convertible, all right? I really just meant, you know, like you're in a subway, like a tunnel for a little while, so you can't see anything, and then you pop out outside, like you can see nature. That's really what I mean. Like I said, I'm being very loosey-goosey with terms. The only real things that I say now are grazie, prego, and, you know, benvenue or whatever. Like, I just say hello. I'm getting a little sloppy with my lingo, Ben. But that was the train experience today. That was the travel experience today.
By now, you've been there a week today. I'm sort of picturing you have found the Italian version of Starbucks. You know what to order. You're a local. You're now a regular to where they know what you want. Am I right?
Yes. Trial and error, Ben. Trial and error. When you go, I want a hot coffee, and they're like, what kind? And you're like, oh, no. And there's people behind you. They know. You don't speak Italian. They're looking down their nose at you. So you better figure it out in a hurry. And so, yeah, I just walked right up and ordered a latte macchiato. I don't even know what that is, but I did it so confidently when I walked across the street. The guy started talking to me like I was a regular customer. It was great. It is, you know what's crazy? That there is actual Starbucks, but there are some drinks, Ben, that I just think are risky. The drink I came across today, I was going to go in there. The drink that they were advertising outside the Starbucks in the train station was like an iced banana latte. No, sir. We're not doing iced banana. I'm not doing iced banana latte. I'll do a lot of things. I'll do a lot of frou-frou drinks. Ben, ain't no banana coffee anywhere, okay? Never heard of it. So I've stayed away from Italian Starbucks. But I have enjoyed that there are a billion places where you can get coffee and a billion places where you can get gelato and a billion places where you can get pizza. I've discovered wine windows where you knock on the door. This is crazy. I did this yesterday. You knock on the door with a knocker, and a guy opens the door just like, you know, 3 feet from the top of the subway. He's like, what do you want? And gives you a menu, and you tell him what you want, and you order it, and he just hands you a glass of wine like on the sidewalk. For here or to go, Ben, wine in a to-go cup? Are you kidding me? Walking down the sidewalk?
Hey, you
I don't know how you do that.
You over on West Whitney Street, you can knock on a door and order some things, but it's not – it's different, I'm told.
Oh, man. I've made a couple jokes about those. I did when I saw the first one, and you can imagine. My humor's a little inappropriate. All right. I need to know how your weekend at the lake was, and I need to know what the best thing you saw this weekend was.
You know, it was just a nice, quiet weekend. It was rainy here yesterday. It was supposed to be Saturday, but we ended up with really nice weather. You know, like mid-80s and not terrible. So just a nice, quiet weekend. You know, nothing to write home about, which made it for a great weekend.
I love that. That you need those nice calm weekends. Anything in the sports realm intrigue you this weekend?
Well, at the Rocket Classic PGA Tour, Michael Thorbjornsson, I think is how you pronounce his last name. he gets his first victory on tour. He's been close a few times. 24-year-old. He hits a 26-foot birdie putt on the final hole to win. And he responded just like someone who had won their first tournament. So that was good. You know, Braves sweeping the Nationals was much needed, was beautiful. I'm sure we'll talk about it. My biggest takeaway from that is that, you know, every now and then, when the whole Braves lineup is hitting, they're very dangerous. Also, the rest of the division is just a hot sack of garbage. They are bad.
I can't wait to talk about this with you because I agree, and I'm not sure any of them got better today, including the Phillies. I'm going to talk about that. I'm not sure the Phillies got better today. The best thing I saw this weekend, and Snap Hook, I'm just seeing you on hold. Hang on, buddy. We're coming to you on the other side. The best thing I saw this weekend were a couple things from Clemson basketball that we need to discuss, and we'll talk about trade deadline. We're also going to need to talk about court cases because there are a bunch of court cases that said wildly different things. Got a number of topics to hit. 654 Roar, you want to get in? Snap Hook's phone call right after this.
With the Roar app, whenever your Clemson Tigers are playing,
touchdown!
The game is streaming live from anywhere in the world.
Your Tigers.
Your Tigers.
Your flagship station.
Your app. Download it today.
Those of you in the service industry, let me talk to you for a moment. If you are in plumbing, electrical, HVAC, anything like that, your vehicle is your business. It is a rolling advertisement, and you need to call the best in the business in order to turn that into a marketing machine. Katazoom, KATAZOOM, katazoom.com. They're located in Greer. Great guys. We have used them for about a decade now on various products. As a matter of fact, they happen to be here right this moment as I'm talking. They can transform any space. They can do wall murals, door murals, anything for your office front. As I said, vehicle wraps, you name it. And their designers are second to none. In one recent project for us, I gave them just a concept, something that was sort of floating around in our heads. Hey, what would this look like? And they sent us three proofs within a couple of days, and it was phenomenal. For more on those guys, check them out, KATAZOOM, katazoom.com.
From the I-85 gridlock to the SO parking lot,
we're your sports talk escape.
We are 105.5 and 97.5.
The Roar.
Before you break ground on that exciting project, here's a friendly reminder from Fort Hill Natural Gas. Safety first. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law and it's free. Whether you're planting a garden or installing that dream patio, make sure to dial 811. Your ticket to a safe and worry-free project. Fort Hill Natural Gas supports and recognizes safe digging practices. Your safety is their priority. Dig smart, dig safe. Call 811 before you dig. Brought to you by Fort Hill Natural Gas, where safety meets satisfaction.
Welcome back to this year's football season. Continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure we're a part of your Clemson tradition. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfilet.com or through the Chick-fil-A app.
The best 13 to 16-year-old baseball players come together August 1st through the 8th as Little League International presents the Senior League Baseball World Series at Jamie Owens Ballpark in Easley.
We continue on here on the program. Out of bounds, William Quagamush, Ben Milstead. Texter says, can we hear Quag say, Mamma Mia, in his best Italian accent? Also says, my great-grandfather was hit and killed by a train. That's terrible. Sorry about that. I have been working on Mamma Mia, but I got to be honest, I'm scared to say it to an Italian because I feel like they just hear that a lot from Americans. I'm trying to fit in a little, you know. I feel like I'm wearing a red flashing, like, you don't know what you're doing sign. So I'm trying to fit in a little.
Okay. I was going to ask you this off the air because this, you know, I'm just going to put it out there anyway since you mentioned that. Are there redheaded Italians? I don't know if I've ever seen one.
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever seen one.
So in other words, you stick out anyway.
I have seen some redheads here, but I am certain that none of them were speaking Italian. I'm certain of that. Okay. Yeah, oh yeah. So I'm gonna say no until some evidence emerges.
I don't know why I had that thought over the weekend, and I was gonna text you. I'm going to text you about a number of things, and then I don't know what your sleep – I don't know when you go to bed, and you're 6 hours ahead, so I refrained.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You should text me. Look, I slept like 9 hours two nights ago. I slept 4 hours last night. Why? I don't know. I went to bed earlier last night. No idea. So my body has no clue what time it is really ever. It just knows when I'm – buy an espresso. Let's go to Snaphook, who's up with us next on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. What's up, Snaphook?
Not much, Billy Qualk. Are you staying in Italy, or are you working your way up through Switzerland?
We are staying in Italy. There was mention of an off-the-books train ride, since we're good at it now, up to Switzerland. I think you can get there in like 45 minutes to a train stop, so not bad at all. And so we may end up doing that. As you know, like, this is not a political statement, but, you know, a little loosey-goosey on the passports here. You can just kind of come and go as you please. But I'm a little intrigued by that. So we'll see the next couple days. There's a little bit of time built in. We'll see what happens.
So I'll give you a recommendation if you get a chance. I had the opportunity to take Mrs. Snaphook about two summers ago. It's a mountain called Mount Pilatus. It's just outside of Lucerne in Switzerland. It's one of the tallest peaks in the Swiss Alps. Now, it's about an hour and a half gondola ride up to the top. Man, it is worth it. It really is. I mean, you can see forever up there. It might be a stretch, but there's a hotel on the top of it called the Berghofplatz, which is it's a hotel with panoramic views, dinners, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it would be worth the train ride if you could pull it off. And I think the full gondola ticket all the way up and all the way down is only like maybe 25 Swiss francs, so ends up being about $30 a person. But it's not terrible. So if you get a chance, look it up. It's Mount Pilatus.
Okay.
It's worth the train ride, man.
I have written that down. That is on my list now, sir.
Please do. So now that I've given you a rec, now we're going to the LSU game. And I've called all the shows and asked for restaurant recommendations in Baton Rouge. So I gave you a rec. I need a rec from you guys. Fellas, I appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Sam. I appreciate the phone call. I am of no help in Baton Rouge. I've never been. So I got to bow out of this conversation. Ben, have you been to Baton Rouge? You've been there, right?
29 years ago. So I'm probably
All the restaurants are the same.
You know, you say that. My impression of Baton Rouge 29 years ago would be, yes, everything is 100% exactly the same.
Oh, man, that's great. That's absolutely great.
Mel Carrick, you said nude beaches, Quok.
Oh, no.
Been to nude beaches there?
Nah, man.
No.
I think
we would have heard about that.
So all the places that we've been, all right, every high-end, like, fashion makeup store, we went to Milan today. I'm like, every store is like a Gucci store or some hot Louis Vuitton. Like, every single brand, and even the ones you don't know what they are, you're like, you're paying more than you do at the Louis store. And so you're going to see some interesting fashion stuff going on. I don't know what anybody is doing over here fashion-wise. I got nothing. I've been here a week. It's almost like three. In fact, I've learned this from our tour guides who have been great. Italy is divided into like 20 regions, and they hate each other. I had a waiter. I can't remember what I ordered. I've been pretty adventurous with trying some pasta stuff and trying to put different stuff on it, whatever. And I ordered something at a restaurant that looked, it was on the menu, the picture. I'm like, I know what I'm getting. I can see it. So I'm going to order this. And a guy kind of looked at me funny, and so I looked it up, and it was like a traditional dish from another, from a different region of Italy. And because they all hate each other and they're very passionate about their region, I don't know. I was like, why do they even have this on the menu if it's from a different region in Italy? And you're going to just look at people funny when they order it. But we were in Tuscany, Florence in Tuscany, so all the Tuscan dishes were unbelievable. But like, you start getting adventurous on that, you could, you know, People might start looking at you funny. Probably the weirdest thing that's happened since I've been here. But we like, what are people doing? I saw somebody in a store today. It was a picture, but I'm like, this girl is wearing like a button-down shirt and like a bathing suit bottom. What do you do with that? I looked at the bag because I'm like, what are you trying to do? Where can you go with that? You can't get in the water with that. It's a button-down shirt. You can't get in the water with that. You're going to walk around the street like that? And sure enough, I saw somebody, literally, it looked like that. Like, not 20 minutes later. You're just walking down the street like that. Ben, I have no idea. I'm not a fashion person. I have not a single clue what's going on with fashion today. But just know, I've seen it all in the last week.
Nothing surprises me anymore when it comes to that. Nothing whatsoever. So.
Okay.
Has it been an uneventful trip, though? I mean, no major issues.
No, I can honestly say this: no problems.
Great.
Not even you know, on all of these trips, and you know this, it doesn't matter the sport. You go to breakfast, and you're like, "Hey, how's it going?" And you start learning about like, "Ugh, I got this text last night. Oh man, you're never gonna believe what happened. Oh, this idiot left his whatever wherever." You know, you're getting one of those. Not a single one of those. There was a player. I'm going to say this because it ended up being fine. We went into the Coliseum, and a player, we had to – it was the most secure place in the world, I'm positive. We had to scan four things, and we had to show our passport twice, and we walked through two metal detectors. So one of the metal detectors, a player grabbed two passports by mistake and then put them in a bag. And so we had one guy who didn't have his passport, and then the second time they asked for passports, he didn't have it, and no one knew that they had multiple passports because the guy pulled his out and not the other one that was in the bag. That is literally the most eventful thing that's happened, is somebody grabbed two passports out of a metal detector or whatever it was by accident. And it really has been a good trip in that way, Ben. And listen, I'm shocked, and you've been around a lot of teams. You're shocked when something doesn't go wrong. People are not getting along. Some drama happens. Somebody gets hurt. Somebody's out late. Somebody misses curfew. Somebody does something they're not supposed to do. Even a good team, stuff's going to happen. This is such a good group that it really has been so – I don't want to jinx it because we got 3 days still. But it's been so uneventful that you almost didn't even notice. It's like a good center, Ben. A good center, you never notice in a game because
right.
He's just snapping it right. And I would say that's how this team has sort of behaved on this trip.
That's good to hear. Texter was asking about the games. They played Saturday. That game will be aired Thursday here on the Roar because that is the day they are traveling back. So I wanted to give you something, and that was a good time. Plus, you know, there's no TV coverage, so you're really not – missing anything. It's not all that dated. We'll tell you Clemson won. And we won't talk too much about that game, but I did listen to a good bit of it this morning getting it ready for Thursday. It sounded like a better showing than game one. And then you have another game here on the Roar tomorrow at noon that will be live. So that's where we are.
I would agree with your assessment. There are two things that I'll say, and again, I don't want to spoil it because I think you should listen on Thursday. We had Chris Hollander on, who has coached with, like, he's been with Billy Donlin. He's been with Marty Simmons. He has known Coach Brown for 20 years. He has been with Rick Ray. Like, this guy knows Brad Brownell, okay? And he was unbelievable on the air. But he could not believe the turnovers. The turnovers were frustrating for him.
Well,
and early free throw shooting. They figured it out.
Yeah, and I don't care who's in the game. You don't ever excuse away turnovers. But you don't have a point guard on the floor. You're gonna have a higher number of turnovers. I will tell you this. I have not. I've only briefly met Chris, but. And I feel like I know him more by listening to him on the broadcast that you will hear on Thursday. He sounds like my kind of guy.
Yes.
I liked him. I liked him.
Y'all are going to get along. He's got a great sense of humor. He goes from coach mode to dry sense of humor mode really quickly. He's very – honestly, he is really similar to Billy Donlin in that way.
Okay, that's great because we need that.
Yes. He also – I don't know if I mentioned this on air or not. He does a great Billy Donlin impression. And Ben Winterow does the best Billy Donlin impression ever. And he and – did I say this on air the other day? He and Hollander were going back and forth
as Donlin.
You told me
Donlin. Privately, yes.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. He came up to radio. Ben was right there. Ben's doing stats for us. He comes up to the radio and he goes, "Hey, Ben, what's going on?" And he sounded, looked exactly like Donlin, and Ben responded as Donlin, and it's a riot. I can't wait for you to see it. The other thing, and I saw Cliff Spammons on Twitter was spreading propaganda on this. Dallas Thomas might be good. I'm just going to say that. The game tomorrow.
Like what I see. And, well, that's, in this case, I like what I hear.
Yeah. You're in your mind's eye. I love watching him play right now. And I, listen, as a true three and no D guy, I respect the heck out of Dallas Thomas's first couple years, okay? Because he is my kind of player. Make a three, don't do anything else. Go sit down. It's great. Ben, the ball pressure that Dallas Thomas is bringing to bear, the dribble drop, not just the fact that he's doing it, sort of a cursory, well, I guess I have to. They're going to fly out at me. He wants to drive and be aggressive. Sign me up for more of the Dallas Thomas experience this year. Forgotten guy. We're bringing in all these new guys, whatever. Can handle it some off the wing. Just trust me. This, not having the point guards, tough for Harris Reynolds, tough for Cole Serta. They're being asked to do some real fish out of water stuff. Great for Dallas Thomas.
You know, the whole crock pot mentality is more of a football thing. Dabo Swinney talks about that a great deal. We'll put them in a crock pot, let them get better, let them cook, and we'll use them when we need them. You don't hear that in basketball anymore. And I have not been a big fan of the red shirt, but in this case, that's exactly what has happened with Dallas. And it sounds like Coach Brunell might know what he's talking about when he does that. Like, because he was way too thin and weak to have been able to play in year one, but he's kind of figuring it out. You saw that at the end of last season, and you know, I realize this is just a couple of exhibitions, but they've asked him to do things that, quite frankly, I didn't know that he was capable of doing in these first two games.
I will be interested to see what the starting lineup is tomorrow because they radically shifted it. I won't even spoil it and tell you who started. It was a radical shift from game one to game two. I think consistently, somebody pointed out Trent Steinauer. I think Steinauer's had two good games, although he had some issues in the second game. I think Thomas has had two great games. I think Serta had a really good second game, and a lot of his issues were from falling down in the first game, to be honest. And so I thought Blake Davidson played well again, so I'll be interested to see what happens there. Chase Thompson started to take the bull by the horns in the second game, but he needs to be more assertive. That's the one thing I haven't seen is Chase Thompson. He's kind of just in the game. He's not making the game happen, and I want to see a little bit more of that. Ben, you were talking about you made a roster point a while ago about the red shirt and the growth and all that stuff. When we come back, we probably should address the fifth-year guys because I've gotten a lot of questions, a lot of text messages over the weekend, and it has been a buzz on the internet, and I have some thoughts on this. We're going to get to Braves, trade deadline, more trades are happening. Sam Jones bemoaned his team. They just acquired Joe Adell, the Guardian. So, Ben, at the break, if you want to just go in there and smack Sam for being down on his team because they just acquired maybe the best outfielder available on the trade market, that'd be great. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds. Hour one continues after this.
The only thing louder than the upper deck on a Saturday.
Score!
The Upstate Sports Authority.
105.5 and 97.5.
The Roar.
Where every day is game day.
Gas prices might be high, but your auto loan rate doesn't have to be. Beat your current auto loan rate by 2% when you refinance with Founders Federal Credit Union. Plus, make no payments for up to 90 days. That's right, Save money with a great rate and make no payments for up to 90 days. Let a founder's representative be your trusted advisor to help make the refinance process quick and easy. Don't forget to ask for a free auto insurance quote to protect your purchase. Founders also offers mechanical breakdown protection that's competitive with most warranty plans available at dealerships. Stop by an office or apply on the Founders app today. To learn more, visit foundersfcu.com/auto. That's fcu.com/auto. Not a Founders member yet? Visit the Founders website to see if you qualify for membership. For additional cost information, call us at toll-free 800-845-1614. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for exceptional senior living? Welcome to the Barclay at Clemson, formerly Dominion Senior Living and Everlawn Independent Living at Patrick Square. Now with a fresh name and the same trusted care you've come to count on. Whether it's independent living, assisted living, or memory care, enjoy top-notch care, chef-prepared meals, engaging activities, and the same friendly staff members in a community that truly feels like home. Live well and thrive at the Barclay at Clemson. Schedule your free tour today at 864-722-2811.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
I need a good plumber fast.
I always call One Tom Plumber.
One Tom what?
Here, dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. Or just tell your smartphone to call One Tom Plumber. They promise to be there in an hour.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple: the highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
Hey, this is KDE over here at Engineer Sleep. Before I ever built mattresses, I played college football. And one thing sports taught me is that your body only performs as well as you let it recover. That's why I take so much pride in what we build here at Engineer Sleep. Every mattress is made by real hands, built strong, and built to help you wake up ready for the day. If you want a mattress made by people who know what real rest means, come see us at Engineer Sleep.
Around here, it's built by the hands of good people. I'm Wesley Harbin, fourth generation at Harbin Lumber Company, and I've seen firsthand that this community...
Live from Como, Italia, Ben Milstead is live inside the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Upcountry Fiber stronger connection. Oh, man.
Sounds
you know
so
what is
better
my
when you say it like that.
You know what's my favorite thing? And I, listen... I know that Americans have feelings about Europeans, and Europeans have feelings about Americans. Can I say how nice it is that the people that very, very much would like to be speaking Italian in all of these stores that I'm going in, all these restaurants, whatever, I have not encountered a single person that can't at least closely approximate what I'm telling them in English. And that is so nice. Props to the Italians. Respect to the Italians. They know there's somebody was speaking a language I didn't know at another table at a restaurant the other day, and the guy who's again clearly Italian communicating with us in sort of broken English is like going off on some other language I don't even know. It is really impressive, and I'm not saying that we should all learn all the languages, but just know it's been really nice to come over here and walk into a place and not worry about, am I going to be able to fully communicate my order in here, or am I going to be able to fully communicate my purchase here, or is somebody going to help me here? It's really, really nice. I appreciate that.
I did wonder about that. Have you been able to so your sports consumption with the time difference, how has that worked out with you? I know you are locked in. I'm imagining three-screen clock with the trade deadline today. What's got your attention? What have you been able to see?
Okay, so the time difference is killing me. If it was like 4 hours, I'd just stay awake and watch with it. But 6 hours, like a 6:40 p.m. baseball first pitch, it starts at 12:40. I mean, I can't do that, Ben. I tried one of the Reds Pirates games. I've felt dead asleep in the fourth inning. Woke up with my iPad going. Like I can't do it. Yesterday I watched a good bit because we were out, we were gassed, we were needing to go in the room, like lay down, take a shower before we were going to eat dinner. And so I watched a good bit of baseball bouncing around because of the afternoon games are like, you know, 1:30 East Coast is 7:30 p.m. Today it has been a lot of, okay, as things happen, trying to follow the right people on X, and also MLB trade rumors is very helpful. They do a real good job of getting stuff up really fast. They'll fill in gaps later and do a full breakdown, but they're like, hey, just so you know, Joe Adele to the Guardians. When I was on the train this morning, I was looking up some of the guys that the Braves got. Let me ask you this, Ben. What are your impressions, okay? We're going to talk about the Scooble thing later. But what are your impressions of what the Braves have done so far? Lane Thomas, Bailey Falter, Tyler Mahle, and now Brent Suter at the end of Faxon and Sam show. Brent Suter, lefty bullpen arm, veteran, rubber lefty bullpen arm, who does a great Harry Carey impression, by the way, coming in for Nacho Alvarez. What is your impression of the Braves, knowing that there's some hours left?
Typical Braves, and I don't mean that derogatory, but they don't traditionally have the big splashy name that they land at the trade deadline. They just go about, you know, these pieces that are, you know, good, not great, more role pieces rather than a mainstream player. Would you agree with that?
That's right. The best trade deadline the Braves have had was the one where people said, why are they doing this? Why did they bring in Jock Peterson and Jorge Soler to be platoon guys? Why are they doing it? There's no reason to bring in these guys. These are average players. No blockbuster deals. Iglesias, okay, whatever. You know, past his prime. That was like, what was that, 5 years ago? He's still ticking. That's exactly where the Braves excel, okay? Now, the Braves have filled, in my opinion, the Braves have filled two needs that contenders have, okay? The first need that – and well, I say one need that they have and one need that every contender has, and they still have yet to fill one. The first need that they filled, they had to have a righty bat. They needed a righty bat, and really what they probably needed more than anything – is a righty bat to platoon with Mike Yastrzemski, who has been swinging it a little bit better and is playable from the left side. So prioritizing a right-handed bat, corner outfield, that feels correct, all right? And I have my list of guys, and my list of guys was like this, and I'm looking at who's available, and I just jotted these down on Friday. Taylor Ward, George Springer, Lane Thomas, Elliot Ramos. Well, they get Lane Thomas from the Royals, okay? Who's in the midst of his best season. His on-paper stats are very good, particularly against lefties. His OPS is 719, but it's 800 against lefties. He's slightly above average in his WRC+, but if you look under the hood of his stats, his walk rate is up, his strikeout rate is down, his hard hit rate is up. There's a potential that playing with the Braves in that lineup where he's got a little better protection than the Royals, who aren't great offensively, I actually think this is good for Lane Thomas. It feels similar in some ways to when they brought in Jorge Soler, where you got a guy that with some tools that maybe has had some, you know, some ups and downs, a spotty career. He came up with the Nationals and all this stuff. But this is a guy that can hit lefties really, really well from the right side. You pair him with Yastrzemski, you're good. The other thing they could have done is bring in a shortstop. I think they were probably in discussions for that. I think this is fine. It's not like break the bank, stop the presses, whatever. They're going to bring in Zach Neto, some controllable shortstop, or, you know, get some coup of a deal from some people. But it's a nice deal because you didn't really give up anything of value to get Lane Thomas. They bring in Bailey Falter in the trade. Look, I looked up some numbers. His numbers this year are a doo-doo sandwich, okay? 14 ERA and 5 appearances at the big league level, but he's 3.35 in AAA. He's averaging more than a strikeout an inning. And last year with Pittsburgh, before he got traded to the Royals and was terrible, the moment he got to Kansas City, He was 3'7"3. He can give you length. That is a theme. Then they bring in Tyler Mahle. Ben, if Tyler Mahle is the starting pitcher you bring in, you failed. Tyler Mahle is a broken shell of a pitcher, okay? And I know that because he was with the Reds. The Reds fleeced the Twins and traded him. It's exactly the same thing that the Giants just did with Mahle. He has had injury issues his entire career. The one healthy first half that he's had in his whole career was with the Reds. He was really good, like a sub-3 ERA, really good. He goes to the Twins for three great prospects and immediately gets hurt, shut down. The guy has started in his last 3 years before this year 24 times combined, all injury-related, not up and down AAA, all injury-related. And so he just now is having health. The Giants flip him. Now, again, the Braves aren't giving up anybody. They're giving up a 4A pitcher, not going to help this team. But to me, if that's your starting pitcher, you failed that one. They need to go get another starting pitcher. Now, we're going to talk about what the market is there. And then I think Brent Suter is, first of all, he's a great clubhouse guy. He was with the Reds, so I know this firsthand. Great clubhouse guy, really good leadership in the bullpen. He can pitch like an inning every night. He can throw two innings at any point. He can open for you if you want to go bullpen game, if you want to do something crazy there. He's incredibly versatile, and he is a team-first guy. To me, that's exactly the kind of thing. If you want to be serious in the playoffs, you're going to need some lefty rubber arm reliever that can throw 3 out of 4 days, and one of those days give you, you know, 7, 8, 9 outs. That's what Brent Suter can do. Now, again, it's not going to wow you. I mean, you gave up Nacho Alvarez, who was probably not going to make it for you anyway. He's not going to play for you. So, again, the Braves have done all this. They haven't really given up anything that cost them as an organization, anything but some depth in the minor leagues. So with that being said, Ben, I'll get your thoughts on it, but I agree with you that it's classic Braves. But I think three of those four pieces are potentially helpful because I'm a little higher on Falter. I just think if your biggest acquisition on the pitching side is Tyler Mahle, I think with every start, he's due to get hurt based on what his career has done. And so that's my concern for the Braves, is that they're going to get Mahle. They're going to see what he did first half of the year. They're going to see what he's done when he's been healthy, and they're going to stop. And I think if they stop, then that would be a mistake, that you need to add at least one other guy who has been in a rotation that can eat innings for you.
I never really thought that Skubal was an option for them. I just didn't feel like they were going to pay what it was going to take, you know, in terms of trade and all that to get him. But the problem with that is that he went to the Dodgers. And that's probably a greater concern for me than the fact that you didn't get him. Because, like I said, the division is terrible. That's not really where my focus is. My focus is, can you beat the Brewers? Can you beat the Cubs? Can you beat the Dodgers? And, you know, with the Dodgers in their lineup, you probably got to catch a little bit of catch fire at the right time and hope that they don't in order to beat those guys in postseason. So that's, like, really that's what concerns me the most. It's not that you didn't get him. It's just where he landed. My question for you, the Braves do still have some pieces that they could trade, you know, mainly at catcher. Do you think they make a move still today?
I think so, and the reason is because no catchers have moved. I mean, we've got, 5 hours till the deadline, and catcher is one of the positions that has been front and center in this deadline because there are a lot of catchers that potentially could be on the move. Like, I'm seeing the Orioles and Red Sox have discussed Adley Rutschman. There's a lot of those situations, by the way, like Baltimore, where a team could move one catcher so that the other guy becomes primary. Samuel Basalo, who's not great defensively, but the Orioles have already signed him long-term, they may move Rutschman. I mean, that's huge. Tyler Stevenson from the Reds. Ben, stop me when you've heard this before. I got a little emotional. He starts crying. The sideline reporter for the Reds gets emotional talking to Tyler Stevenson, who's been with the Reds since 2015, made his debut with the Reds, and he hit a home run in his first at-bat in the big leagues in 2020 and potentially his final at-bat with the team yesterday. Like, that was goosebump stuff. So they talk about it on the air, and he's like crying hard. Like, he's really upset about everything. He wants to stay in Cincinnati. There's a lot of stuff there. he's potentially on the move. Ryan Jeffers from Minnesota is potentially on the move. And there are bigger names at catcher that are potentially on the move. If a lot of those teams decide not to move their catchers, okay, then Joey Bart becomes really valuable because there are still six or eight teams that either want upgrades at catcher like the Yankees or straight up need one because of injuries or underperformance. And I feel like Joey Bart could potentially do it. Now, I've said get really crazy and go Sean Murphy and, like, get yourself a blockbuster, but I don't feel like Murphy's going to give you probably requisite value looking at some of the trades and some of the things that have happened here, even with multiple years of control. So Bart would be the one guy that I would say, Ben, that I would not be surprised if he's moved, particularly if you get to 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and you haven't seen a lot of movement among those grade A catchers I just talked about.
Is there another starting pitcher out there that has not signed that could be a candidate?
You could see, I mean, my Reds have Brady Singer. He's a great innings eater. I would prefer him over Malley. There are a few guys like that. The Giants have been, like, they're kind of selling the farm. They've been a little hesitant. Reed Detmers could potentially be out there for the Angels with multiple years. If they're giving up Jose Soriano and now Joe Adele, then they're just basically punting everyone. They're just sending everyone away. We're going to start over. So Reed Detmers is potentially gettable. He's been frustrating in his pro career, but he's been pretty good. I mean, this year, I think he's been good. We'll talk about this more on the other side because there is a Skubal effect here, and I feel like a lot of the conversation around this has just kind of missed the point. So I want to say a few things about it live from Como, Italy, in hour two after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Got a busy life and missed your favorite show? The best sports talk plays on your schedule.
Yeah, baby.
All shows are online on the podcast page.
And ready to play when you want.
This is awesome.
Download the Roar app or visit theroarfm.com.
Let me tell you about Tiger Diagnostics. If you have a medical procedure, if you're having some sort of medical issue and you need blood work done, this is a real problem. That turnaround time, the cost of having to wait, it weighs you down. It's a mental health problem. It can be unbearable. It can be unworkable to have to wait days, even, you know, a week or more to get those results. And that's because a lot of times those samples are sent out of state. With Tiger Diagnostics, Ted Swam was talking to patients. He's talking about this on the air before with us. He was talking to patients that just had to wait too long, and he got frustrated and decided to do some things about it. And so he and a few others have started this company. They've got 4 blood draw centers in the upstate where you can go and get blood drawn. I've done it. You get the blood work done. And then it's processed in the upstate, in Piedmont. It's a car ride away from wherever you are. He's partnered with doctors. That number continues to grow. And they've got their own little, their own 4 locations where you can go get it done. It cuts that turnaround time significantly, gives you the peace of mind. Dr. Ted Swan's doing great work. TigerDiagnosticsLab.com.
The road to success, well, it isn't always a straight one, but it's so much easier getting there with a good education. I tell my kids every day before dropping them off at school, don't take this for granted. Tuition assistance from the South Carolina Education Lottery helped me go back to school when I needed to make a change. And I'm so grateful because now I am where I'm supposed to be.
Better opportunities means a better South Carolina, and a better South Carolina means a better you. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Need portable toilets for your construction sites or next event?
Call 864-238-8800.
Yes, Royal Flush Toilet Rental is your answer when it comes to emergency rentals, festivals, wedding, or backyard parties.
Call 864-238-8800.
Remember, if you're in upstate South Carolina, Royal Flush Toilet Rental is locally owned, dependable, and your local portable toilet company.
Call 864